Shara is an electronic pop artist, singer, and producer, originally from Anaheim, California. She grew up doing musical theater and singing. Eventually, she began writing her own lyrics and decided that she wanted to write her own original music. But Shara didn't know how to go about getting into the business of making music. She experimented with genres she didn't really have her heart set on. She spent a lot of money on producers, but she didn't really feel like she was getting anywhere. Then, Shara discovered electronic dance music, and everything changed. She began to find her voice as an artist, and in a new collaborative environment, has taken complete creative control of her art and her future. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
I'm Candace, but I go by Shara. I'm an electronic pop artist, singer, songwriter, and producer. I grew up in Anaheim, California, so only about an hour from LA. I started off in musical theater. The first production that I did was Velveteen Rabbit, I remember, and I played the fairy. And I remember that was the first time that I actually performed by myself singing on stage, literally was by myself on stage, and I remember I was around 7 or 8 years old. And I actually really liked that experience. It was so much fun. And I think that day I was like, oh, I want to perform more. I want to audition for more plays and whatnot. And so my mom like continued me down the path of doing a lot of musical theater. I did some regional touring. And then she decided to put me in vocal lessons. And then while this is all happening, I started writing a lot of lyrics and like poetry. And I fell in love with words and how you could put a story together. And then I decided that I really wanted to write original songs. So I decided, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just learn how to play chords on the piano. So I taught myself some like simple chords and tried putting melodies to my lyrics. And from there, I didn't really know what I was doing. So I was like, maybe I should find a producer or something to make these into full songs. And so I found a local producer in my hometown, and we kind of just wrote a bunch of songs and recorded. And that just gave me a lot of experience of recording. And I did pop rock, which was like Avril Lavigne-ish at the time, because I really loved Avril Lavigne. I remember I did a lot of talent shows, especially in my teenage years. And I remember I went and performed a song that I had written. I think it was called Windows of My Mind. And I remember performing it for everybody. I think there was about, 50 people there or something. It was a talent show, so there was probably a good amount of people there at the time. But I remember performing it and having so much fun with it, but it was also really scary to like put your own stuff out there, because I think up until that point I had only performed like covers or musical theater using like other people's music. So to be able to go up there and actually sing my own song was kind of intimidating. But after I was done, I was like, oh, I really like this. This is cool. I want to do more music now. And then I kind of continued on that. Like I did a lot of different talent shows after that. And I also did a lot of performances like in Orange County, just at like random coffee shops or like wherever I basically could perform, I would go and perform and try and figure something out. But it, from there, I was like having so much fun with it and just gained a lot more confidence to put myself out there. I would say my teenage years, like I just always loved music and performing and whatnot. And I was like, I quit skating even. I was a competitive figure skater for a very long time. And I quit that to do music because I decided that's what I wanted to do. And I was done skating. And from there, I've just never looked back. When I was a teenager and I started recording those pop rock songs and working with that producer, I was like, I really want to do this for a living. Like, I want to write songs and I want to perform. But I didn't really do much with those songs. I didn't know what to do with them, to be honest. I just was like, I don't really know how to approach a label or how do I get these out. At the time, things weren't the way they are now. It wasn't so easy to distribute and put your music out there, so you really had to have a label to put it out there or something of the sort. So those songs kind of just were experience, and so I started trying to research other ways of getting my music out there, and I ended up finding some producers here in LA that I ended up working with, and I kind of went the urban pop route and started doing Lady Gaga style music, I would say. I wanted to do music that I could perform and dance because I grew up as a dancer as well. So it was really important for me to do music that I was able to dance to and put on shows. I always wanted to put on shows like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or any of those pop artists that were great performers. Working with these producers, it became really expensive. They were charging thousands of dollars and it was really hard on my family. And so I kind of would take random breaks in between of doing original music. And when I turned 18, I started, you know, getting little jobs here and there and trying to pay it by myself, which was really hard. And so I did a bunch of songs and I didn't really do much with those. They kept telling me that I need more songs, like, you know, you need an EP, you need an album. And I kept getting all this different advice. And I was like, I didn't really know what to do. And I didn't really have the money to spend like $20,000 on like an EP or album that they wanted me to do to say that, oh, you know, if you do this, then you can do this type of situation. So then I started like getting really into dance music and going to electronic music festivals. And I discovered how like one person could make their own songs, like from production to writing to singing. And that was really inspiring to see that people could actually put this stuff together on their own. And I got really into production and I started trying to learn it on my own. And I ended up switching my style to EDM and had some like multiple projects of just Big Room House and Future Bass and all these like underground styles. And it was really fun. And I started like researching producers to work with and collaborate with and try to learn the ropes of all of that. And so I did that for a while. And I started just, you know, DJing and just all these random things. But it helped me grow as an artist because I kind of decided, like, what sounds do I like? What sounds don't I like? What kind of stuff do I really like writing? Because I didn't really feel that I found that from the other people that I worked with. It was very like, you're going to do it this way. And they didn't really let me have my own vision. And so it was really hard for me to like, oh, this is what I like. I like this type of sound. I like these chords. I like minor chords or whatever it was. From there, I really was just researching and talking to people and writing with other people. So I found producers to write with and artists to write with and tried to get more involved in the writing process and making those connections to figure out what was next. And it also was really important for me to continue writing, whether it was on my own, whether it was with other people. So I was able to make enough connections and friends to be able to figure out the next step. And I also did a lot of research on my own, like, you know, how can I get my music out here? Like, how do I contact people? How do I do this and that? And so I was able to figure it out from there. And as like time was going on, like the music industry was changing so much. Like you start having distributing services like CD Baby coming out. You were able to have like blogs and magazines coming out that were actually online. There was YouTube. So there's a lot more like ways to get your music out there. So I started putting my music like on YouTube. I started, you know, putting on SoundCloud. That was a big one. Like I would just throw it up on SoundCloud and see what would happen. And that would just contact random magazines that specialized in music. And I'd have my stuff up there. I was able to get like involved enough in the EDM industry that I was able to get to know like little indie labels that released my stuff eventually, which was really, really cool. And I was able to also collaborate with a lot of different electronic producers who were like willing to collaborate with me and finish music up and kind of help each other and put stuff out there. So I had a lot of collaboration type tracks where it was like me and like somebody else, and we would kind of help each other get it out there and distribute it and get plays and whatnot. And that really helped me a lot because then I was like learning what the music industry was and how to do the music business. Because I think as artists, we don't know the music business most of the time. We kind of depend on labels or business people to help us with that. But I think an artist now can't do that. I think it's really important to know both sides. Like you really have to have the music down, but you also have to do the music business down, at least in the beginning, until you get to a point where you have a lot of people helping you and you've built a team. But that takes a very long time. And so I think it's really important to know that now. Like if you're a new artist, like go get to know the music business because it's going to put you a lot farther ahead than most people. And you're going to be able to have at least a little faster progress than I did starting out. So I remember I did a song, it was a collaboration track, and I released it on a label in Brazil. And I remember like submitting it to all these people, and like finally this one person got back and they're like, oh, we'll release your song. And that was a really cool moment to be like, oh, finally, because I think that was my first release on like a label of some kind. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So then when it was actually released and distributed, that was a big moment for me because it had taken me many years to try and get to that point. I think I don't even remember like how old I was at that point. But I just remember that being such a cool moment. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to figure it out, which took me a really long time. And from there, it just kept on like snowballing. And then I was like, okay, I think I can do this, even though there was a lot of doubt in the beginning, because I was like, there's no way anyone's going to get like $20,000, $30,000 up to do a bunch of music and for it to actually pay off, especially in our new music industry with streaming rights right now. I don't even think that's, you know, something that's possible. So I think you do have to find other ways. And so definitely that point was a big turning point for me to be like, okay, I think I'm on the route of the type of music I want to do and getting a little farther ahead than I was. And I think I was a lot happier doing the EDM stuff than I was doing the pop stuff. I felt like in the EDM industry, it's a lot more collaborative. Like producers want to collab and writers want to collab and they want to get stuff out there and they're willing to put their name on it and you put your name on it. And I think that's really cool. And I think that's something at the time that wasn't happening in the pop industry. I think now it is. I know a lot of artists are coming out with a lot more collab tracks like Zedd or Calvin Harris, or even Julia Michaels has a bunch of people featured on her songs. I think that's really cool. I think it should have been like that a long time ago, but it wasn't. And so the EDM industry was. And so I'm really glad that I was able to find that and to do that, because I don't know where I would have been otherwise if I was stuck in the pop industry, which were kind of like, no, if you don't pay this money, then you don't do music type situation. But I'm glad that I was able to find another way and discover dance music and, you know, made those connections there. So while that was happening, I fell into writing songs for film and TV. And that really helped me grow as a writer because I was writing like R&B and then I was writing pop and then I'm writing cinematic style music and you had to go by briefs. So a couple of producer friends of mine will get briefs and they're like, hey, can you write this type of song? It's going to be for this scene. And from there, like the producers I was working with, they just kept bringing me in for more and more. And the briefs kept changing all the time. And then all these like random cinematic briefs started coming in. It's like, we want a cinematic song, orchestral, dark. We want it to be about, you know, fighting or war. And I did a bunch of that, a bunch of songs in that style, and kind of started getting it down and being like, oh, this is really cool. This is really fun. But other than cinematic, like I also wrote a lot of briefs for like commercials and some trailer spots as well, like some briefs for that. One of the first things I heard, this is like a long, long time ago, it was on MTV. It was on Basketball Wives. It was actually a pop song that I wrote really randomly. And I remember like, what? It was kind of like just surprising. I don't know. I don't even think I knew that the song was going to be on there, because usually when you write for TV and film, they put the songs into a library and then they'll just randomly place it, especially in reality shows. So you never know when it's going to get placed. Like it could get placed any day, any time. They don't tell you. And then you just receive something later. So it was really interesting. I was like, didn't I write that? And so it was really fun though. I was like, oh, this is cool. And yeah, I do remember that day, and it was really cool. I was like, oh, like I actually have a song on TV. Okay. I started writing songs for my own project, and it took me about a year and a half of figuring out how to kind of put together the orchestral elements, cinematic elements, the vocals, and electronica. So I worked on this new song called Back for More, and it took me a year just to write that song because I had so many different revisions. Finally, was happy with the result and just released it. And I have a bunch of follow-up singles that I'll be releasing this next year, and I think I'm finally happy with where my music's going. And hopefully in 5 years, be just doing shows and writing more music. That's really my goal. And traveling the world, I really want to travel. And I'm hoping that, you know, doing shows will help with that. But I'm really excited to see where this goes and over the next year or so. Because I know that you'll be back. Cause I know that you'll be back for more. music. I want it to be dark and cinematic, and I want to put more truth into the music industry. I feel like there's a lot of happy music out there, which is awesome. Like, I think there should be music out there that is inspirational and, you know, lifts you up and that you can dance to. But I think there needs to be more music out there that reflects what's actually going on in the world, because there's a lot of bad things going on in the world right now. And also, I'd like to put out music that people can really relate to, subjects that maybe other artists don't talk a lot about. I think it's really important to touch on these subjects and put that truth out there, because there's plenty of inspirational type of music. And that's kind of my goal with this project, because I feel like for many, many, many years I was doing, you know, like music that you could dance to and very motivational music. And now I just kind of want to now just put truth out there and who I am as an artist and my situations, and hopefully that people can relate to it, and that'll make them feel like they're not alone.
That was Shara. For more information on her and her music, including where you can stream this song, Back For More, visit the website, ktla.com/spokendreams. And be sure to follow along with me on Instagram at SoundsLikeBobby. You can follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at SpokenDreamsPod. Also, I encourage you to subscribe to some of the other shows in the Tribune Audio Network. You can hear more from me on the News Director's Office podcast, and there are some great interviews on the Frank Buckley Interviews podcast. We've also got a California Cooking podcast and Diva Defined with Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more podcasts from Tribune stations across the country. You can get them wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm back with more Spoken Dreams next week, so until then, break a leg.